Take your Bibles now. Let's go to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 29. We'll begin with verse 15. And I started a series last Sunday night entitled Living in an Imperfect World. We do live in an imperfect world. And so tonight our message, insecurity. Overcoming insecurity. Genesis chapter 29, beginning with verse 15. I hope you have your place. Follow along as we read a very familiar portion of Scripture and a story that we should be familiar with. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. Now, Leah, in this case, I think as we look at her, is a type of and an example of the causes and effects of insecurity. I think if you'll study this passage out in your own time, you'll see that she was very insecure, and that's why she did some of the things that she did. You remember the story how Jacob fled to Uncle Laban's. He and his mother had tricked Isaac out of the birthright, and Esau was mad at him. Esau wanted to kill him. That's how mad he really was. And Jacob fell in love with Rachel after he'd been there a little while. And Rachel was the one that he really wanted to marry. But 7 years later, he got Leah. That's poetic justice, isn't it? Better be careful who you trick. You might get tricked yourself. And so that's what happened to him. And they put a veil over her face, and he thought he was getting Rachel, but instead, he got Leah. But we see later when he married Rachel, that Leah was very insecure, and even up to that point, she was very insecure. May I say to you tonight that nobody, I don't think anybody, is immune to some degree of insecurity. Now, suppose tomorrow you go to work and your boss leaves a note in your tray or in your box or wherever you get your notes, and he says, As soon as you come in, I want to see you in my office immediately. What is your first reaction? Oh, he's going to give me a raise. Oh, he's going to brag on how hard I worked last week. The first reaction, generally speaking, is one of insecurity. I wonder if he's going to fire me today. And that would be our first reaction. We're all prone to that. Now, we might go into a doctor. And we're getting a checkup, that routine yearly checkup. And so the doctor goes, And he looks at your charts again, and he writes down some things, and he goes, And he looks at some things, and he said, You know, I believe you ought to have an EKG. And what are you going to think of? I'm real healthy, and he's bragging on me? You're going to have a sense of insecurity. You're going to say, Man, I hope my heart's not bad. I hope I'm not getting ready to have a heart attack. And you probably ask him, Doc, am I about ready to have a heart attack? And he will give you a certain amount of information. Usually insecurity comes because we are afraid we're going to lose something. Now think about that. We're afraid we're going to lose something, and because of that, we become insecure. We're afraid we'll lose our job. We're afraid we're going to lose our health. Everybody thinks about that. We're afraid that we might even lose our life. And if not us, we're afraid about our children and our grandchildren and all that they go through. So let me talk to you, number one, about the different characteristics of insecurity. As I said, insecurity is worrying about losing what you have. You can't worry about losing what you don't have, but a lot of people worry about losing what they have because that's where they find their security. A lot of times, and especially in American culture, we find our worth and our value in what we have. And that's sort of sad, isn't it? I am somebody because my house is big or my car is fancy and all of that. And we have that sense of worth, but it's in something that we can lose. And you can lose it just like that. You can lose it overnight. And I think Leah drew security from Jacob. And she was afraid that Jacob was going to abandon her. Let me just say this, that the source of security, your source of security, whatever it is, think about it. If it is vulnerable, then you will never be at peace. Where do you find your security? If wherever you find your security is vulnerable, if it can change, you will never, never in your whole Christian life be at peace. You'll always be worried about things. A description of insecurity. We look at Leah again. We watch her life. Her first son's name was what? Reuben. Now, all of those names had a meaning. But the name Reuben meant this. See, I have a son. What Leah was saying, I think, is now I've got Jacob. I gave him a baby. I gave him a son. Now I have a son. See, I have a son. And so she felt maybe that she was going to earn the love of Jacob because she gave him a son, and that would satisfy him and she would have security. But that isn't the way it worked out. And that is not the way it's going to work out. That is called conditional love. Conditional love. One of the worst kinds that you can have out there. A child would know something about conditional love. Some children say, well, if I am good, then I will enjoy the love and I will enjoy the security of my parents. If I'm bad, I will neither have love nor will I have acceptance because I'm bad. And a lot of children do not get that love and that security from their parents, and they're afraid if they mess up one time really bad that they're going to lose that security and their mother and dad will have nothing to do with them, or they'll really dislike what has happened to them and they will not show that love and they'll not show that commendation to their children. That's a sad thing, parents, when it's that way. And that's the description of some of the insecurity. What about the difficulty of insecurity? There is difficulty in it. When we're judged by what we do, and so many times we do that, we're judged by what we do rather than who we are. We should not be judged and loved and accepted by what we do, but simply because of who we are. Now, Leah went on to have a third son. And this third son's name was Levi. You know what his name means? It means attachment. And again, I think we're seeing that insecurity of Leah where she's saying, now I'm attached to Jacob. I've borne him a son. Now this is a third son. And she no doubt thought at that point she had Jacob wrapped up. It's what I call the report card syndrome. How many of you kids know about the report card syndrome? I will be loved if I measure up. I'll be loved if I make all A's. I will be loved if I do a good job. Listen, God may not have given your child the capacity to make all A's. They ought to be loved anyway. If they make A's, amen. If they don't, amen. Love them. God gives different people different abilities and different capacities. But we shouldn't put our love on if if I measure up or if they measure up and if they do a good job or if they are successful or if they make a lot of money in life, then we're all successful and I'm proud and I'm going to love you and let you know how proud I am of you. Only because you're successful will I really love you like you want me to love you. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. If we do our best, God is pleased. Amen. If you do your very best, God is pleased with that regardless of the results. God doesn't ask us to do what He hadn't given us capacity to do. And we need to do our very best. Now, even if we don't do our best, we still ought to be loved. You know, there are some kids that don't do their best. They ought to do their best, but they don't do their best. But we still ought to love those kids. And let me point out this right here, lest you think that we're saying, well, just live any way you want to. Here's what I'm saying. If you sin and you fail because of that sin, and that happens, what you will do is forfeit a blessing. Now, that's part of the rule of God. Doesn't mean He does not love you. Listen to what I'm saying. He can love you, and if you don't do what He says to do, and you could do what He says to do in the area of obedience, you're going to give up a blessing. And you're going to forfeit that, and God will bring His chastening hand on you because He loves you. Doesn't mean He does not love you. We can't make God love us any more or any less. God just loves us. You don't get God's love by jumping through hoops and doing tricks. God loves you because God loves you. God loves you, and that's why He gave His Son to die for you, and that's why He gave His Son to die for me. Now, when we understand that, then we will not have the problems with security that we otherwise might have. We're not going to have those problems. What comes along with this is something I would call the depression of insecurity. The depression of insecurity. When we feel like that we have to constantly, all the time, over and over and over and over, prove ourselves, and we're on trial every day, then what you're going to wind up finding out is you're going to be depressed. If you're all you're trying to do every day of your life is beat yesterday. And people like that tend to be perfectionists. They tend to be very hard workers, the ones who put in long hours, and there's something to be said for that. But so many of them are perfectionists that are melancholy, and they are people that are very unpleasant, and they're the kind of people that go around bragging in your presence all the time about all of the achievements they have, and it's because of their insecurity. They're insecure, and they think they've got to do all of that to get you to like them. Look, if you're going to like me just because of the kind of car I drive, I don't really need your friendship. Yeah. If you're going to like me just because I'm successful and live in a certain style house, I don't really need your friendship. I don't need your approval whatsoever. I need the approval of Almighty God, and that's it. And a lot of those people are just afraid they're going to mess up and do it a little bit. They're going to lose their standing in your eyes. That doesn't mean anything to God in eternity. We've got to do what God tells us to do and do the right thing. But what did Leah keep doing? She kept on having babies, kept on having children, kept on performing, if you want to call it that, for Jacob, for his love. And when you do that and you think you've got to do that, you will never, never win. You're not going to do it. Wife with your husband, husband with your wife, children with your parents, vice versa. You're never going to win. What we need to do is deal with it biblically. Deal with it the way God says it ought to be dealt with. So those are the characteristics. Now, let's look at some of the causes of insecurity. One of those, and parents, listen up, is parental rejection. One of the reasons that some people are insecure is parental rejection. Those parents fail to show acceptance. And whenever we grow up as adults, we have this grid, this screen, and that's in there. And we don't get rid of it necessarily, except we learn to get rid of it through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say, I was looking, when I was preparing for this message, I had a picture of my mother and daddy at my home desk, and this is where I was doing my studying for this. And I looked at the picture, and my mother was always an encourager and always a bragger, and I used to call her every Sunday and tell her how many we had in church and how many got saved and all of that. My daddy was a stern German. I looked at his picture and I said, I cannot remember one time in my whole life that my dad said to me, son, that's good. I'm proud of you. You did a great thing. Now, I love him and he's in heaven, but I wish many a times he would have done that. When I and another guy escorted the Queen at the homecoming football game, I wanted him to go so badly. And I guess he's like that song, he was just too tired, or whatever that song was today. But I'm telling you, it's important to your children, parents, listen to me, that you take time to show them your approval. Because if not, it's going to reach into their adult life. Leah was pawned off, if you can believe this, by her dad. He said, I don't think she'll ever get married. She's not real pretty. I just need to get her out of here. He had a low opinion of his daughter. Isn't that sad? Uncle Laban had a low opinion of Leah. No wonder she had some problems. And he said, I need to get rid of her, and I want her to marry him. If I have to trick him, I'm going to do it. And that's exactly what he did in order to get her out of the house. Jacob didn't want her. Her daddy didn't want her. How would you like that feeling? Neither one of them wanted her. He wanted Rachel. How many times in counseling have I talked to people? Many, many times, adults. And you'd be surprised who some of them are. And they would say, you know, my parents never, one time, not even once, believe it or not, said, I love you. By the way, Dad, when's the last time you've talked to your daughters or your son, no matter what they've done, and said to them, I love you? Why is it we want forgiveness and we want to hear somebody say, I love you, but we don't want to give out the same kind of love to others when they have failed? We want it, but we don't want to give it out sometimes. And so many times they say that, and they have said to me, no matter what I did, I couldn't do anything good enough to satisfy my dad or my mom. It was never good enough. No matter how good it was, it always missed the mark. And I want to tell you something tonight. Children get their impression of God by what their mom and dad think of them. And especially, Dad, what you think of them and how you treat them. They get, like it or not, their impression of who God is from their mother and daddy. And yet, sometimes parents never tell them they love them. You know, if everything's messed up, socks are on the floor, shoes are hanging off the bed, clothes are thrown around, underwear in the corner and all of that, they walk in, get this thing cleaned up. But if they were to walk in one day, first of all, they'd have a heart attack. But secondly, they wouldn't say, hey, I'm glad you got that cleaned up. You know, we sort of expect it. We ought to brag on them. We ought to say, thank you. We ought to say, and I know we're stern and we say, well, they ought to do that anyway. And they should, but what will it hurt to say, I appreciate what you did, and I appreciate you, and I love you so very much? And then there's the pain of comparison. Let me tell you something. Kids know when you're comparing them. Kids know when you're comparing them. Why aren't you smarter than your brother? Why don't you make good grades like your sister did? Why aren't you more active in some things and better in sports than your brother was? He was a good football player or soccer player. What's the matter with you? Are you a pansy? Are you a sissy? You say, well, parents wouldn't say that. Parents do say that kind of thing. And so they begin to compete for affection. That's what Leah was doing. They compete for affection. And when we compare them, that's what they're going to do. And in order to get that affection, they say, I got to do better, I got to do better, I got to do better, I got to be perfect, I got to go on and on and on. And sometimes they do better, but sometimes, listen to me, just to get your attention, they do worse. There are a lot of kids today that are in rebellion, and parents wonder, what's wrong with them? Why are they rebelling against me? And the truth of the matter is, you don't give them enough attention and enough love. And so they say, this is the only way I can get it. The only way I can get it is be bad. And they get attention in a bad way. And that's destructive. And when they're growing up, when they're grown-ups, they usually can't stand alone. They have a hard time standing alone. They have problems adjusting in life. They're constantly looking for approval. They're looking for attention from everybody. If you cross them one way, if you say something in the least bit contrary to what they think you should have said, they think you're mad at them, that you hate them, that you don't want to talk to them. Believe me, as a pastor, I've gone through some of that stuff. You know, you didn't even shake my hand. You remember the song? Well, sometimes I can't shake your hand. Sometimes you don't come by. And sometimes I'm in a hurry. And sometimes I had something else I've got to do. But I think sometimes the people who say that are the people who are very insecure. So what did Leah do? She just continued. More children. She wanted to outdo Rachel. Gave him more sons. And I'm telling you, nobody wins in that scenario. And Rachel was always going to be Jacob's favorite, no matter what. No matter what. So you can never do enough to gain love. You can never do enough to gain acceptance that's going to last. You can't do it. And we don't need to try to do it. And then there's another reason. That's the possibility of loss. The cause of insecurity. The possibility of loss. We are afraid of what can be taken from us. And therefore we are insecure about it. Leah was afraid, as I said, she was going to lose Jacob. And we have, she had few options. She was chattel. In that economy, they were more like people that were owned by the husband. And she was so insecure. What do I do? If he leaves me and kicks me out, where am I going to go? Am I going to go back home to my sweet daddy who sold me out to begin with? What am I going to do? And I think she probably almost had a right to feel that way. But what you do have, and what God has given you, and what is yours that God has given you, that's the only thing that can't be taken away from you. You see, everything else can be taken away from you. Only, here's what it really amounts to, the only thing that cannot be taken away from you and me is our relationship with God. Did you know you can lose everything else? There are no guarantees tomorrow you'll have your spouse. There are no guarantees tomorrow that you'll have your savings account. I'm trying to put a little bit back for retirement when I hit about 80 or 90. I know it disappoints some of you, but when I hit about 80 or 90, but you know what? I have no earthly idea where to be there or not. The way the economy is going, and depending on who gets in office, a number of other things, I don't know what's going to happen to that. I could lose it. You could lose it. We could lose our wealth. You can lose your health. Tomorrow you may go for a checkup and the doctor tells you, hey, I hate to tell you this, but you've got about 90 days. I had someone that was acquaintance of mine recently, went into the doctor. The doctor said, you've got cancer and you've got about 30 days and that's it. And it wasn't long and he was gone. We cannot find our security in our health, in our money, in our friends, in our relationships, in anything else. The only thing that we can have security in is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if that is right, and we know that's the only thing, then everything else is manageable. Amen? Everything else will work out. If that relationship is not right, we just keep on struggling and keep on struggling and keep on being insecure. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen? There it is. Amen. Find your security in Jesus Christ. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Don't focus on the things. Focus on God. And if you focus on God, God will take care of the things. We have to find our security in Almighty God. Very quickly. Consequences of insecurity. The characteristics, the causes, and then the consequences. One of the consequences is an intense desire to succeed. An intense, deep desire to succeed. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be successful. I'm talking about a driving force that is driven because of this. I have talked to millionaires. I've talked to people who had far more wealth than any of us in this building would probably ever dream of having. And those people were insecure. I've talked to them who were suicidal. Though they had they were well known, they had money, they were wealthy, and you would think that they would be okay, and yet they had a very low self-esteem. They were very insecure about everything in their lives. Sometimes I've been told that their father said to them when they were younger, you will never amount to anything. You'll never amount to anything. My mother used to tell me when I'd break something, don't go to work for A&P Grocery because you'll probably owe them at the end of the week. That always made me feel good. Amen. She didn't say it all the time, but especially when I dropped a gallon of syrup on the floor, that's pretty hard to clean up. But because of certain statements like that, and because of a relationship that's not a correct relationship, even very so-called, we would think, successful, wealthy, well-known people are insecure. But if you don't put the Lord there and find Him as your security, if He doesn't fill that void, friend, it's never going to be filled. It's just not going to be filled. That's why unsaved people can never be fully, fully satisfied. And then there's the inadequacy to relate to the peers. Inadequacy to relate to peers. Leah and Rachel did not get along. But in a sense, they were peers. They were both the wife of the same man. Now, you can talk to God about it when you get to heaven. That doesn't mean God approved of it, but at any rate, that's the case and that's the way it was. But we're not responsible for the treatment we get. We're not responsible for what is said to us in many ways, but we are responsible as to how we react to what is said. Amen. How are we going to react to what is said about us, whether it be our parents or someone else? How are we going to react? Leah could have developed a good attitude. Leah could have decided, I'm going to get along with Rachel. I'm going to do the best I can in this relationship. But I believe it was because of her insecurity that she did not try to get along in that relationship. And that's a pattern of people that are insecure. You notice people that are insecure, they're very, very polite to people that are above them, and they recognize that. They're very polite to them, very kind to them. They'll bend over backwards for them. And even if there's someone that they feel like is not as blessed as them or maybe below them, and I don't mean that in the wrong way, but I think you understand what I'm saying, and they can really be kind to them, but they can get on the same level with other people and be mean as the devil because of their insecurity. And they build a wall like Leah built a wall. And that's what happens many times. Because of their peers, they are afraid they're going to do them in. They feel threatened. They have suspicion toward people around them. What are they talking about? I see them over there talking. What are they talking about? Talking about me? And they'll see maybe two other people where they work, and they'll think they're plotting against them. And they are insecure people. Sometimes they're very hostile, and sometimes they expect to be mistreated. And even sometimes I believe some of them set it up so it looks like they have been mistreated, because of their insecurity around their peers. We ought to put friends and spouses in the right place and put God in the right place. Amen. And if we don't do that, it's a no-win situation. And then the inability to focus on blessings. One reason people are insecure is they cannot focus on the blessings. Here's what they do. They worry about what they don't have. You know people like that? They have more than a lot of people. Most of us do. We can always find somebody down the line that doesn't have what we have, and yet we're never satisfied with that. I'm not talking about getting rid of our philosophy and our government and the free enterprise system, but I'm just saying that these driving things, we get things and then we worry about the fact we don't have more things. I need this and I need that. If I just had that, I'd be happy. If I just had that, I'd be secure. Or what they don't have, or what they might lose, or they get something and it's a blessing, but it's just not enough. Somebody gives them a check and they say, well, that was good, but it didn't pay for everything. You know, they'll give them a love offer and say, well, I appreciate that, but I needed a whole lot more than that. Or a lack of something, and if they don't have it, they say, the whole world is unfair. Like that guy that his grandpa, that they put Limburger cheese on his mustache and woke him up, and he went into the next room and said, man, it stinks in here. Then he went into the next room and said, man, it stinks in here too. Went into another room, living room, it stinks, it stinks. Went outside, he said, just what I thought, the whole world stinks. Have you ever met anybody like that? And that's the attitude of some people. They think the whole world stinks. Nothing is ever satisfying. You know why? Because they're insecure. They focus on what they don't have rather than what God has given them. Focus on God. There will be a perpetual discontent if you are an insecure person. So there's the characteristics, some of the causes, some of the consequences. And the last thing would be the cure for insecurity. There is a cure. Yes. The cure for insecurity. Under that, we need to understand the purpose of God. Understand the purpose of God. Let me ask you a question tonight. Who made you? Who made you? You say, well, mom and dad and an intimate relationship and the purview of marriage. No, no, no. God made you. David told us it was in his mother's womb. And that's why we're against abortion, amen? Amen. And you ought to know who's for and against it when you vote. I just thought I'd throw that little extra message in there somewhere along the way. But God made you. And did you know what? God made you to be as successful in His terms as He wants you to be. Everybody, every preacher would like to have been a Lee Robertson or a W.A. Criswell, and some a Billy Graham perhaps, or whatever. But God didn't make us all that way. God made us all the way He made us. And old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is accredited with making this statement. I suppose he was the first one to say it. But it's a good statement. He said, success is finding God's will and doing it. Well, that's a good definition of success. Find God's will for your life and then do it. Do you know that tonight you're a designer original? You're not just one of those where the machine just cuts it and cuts it and all of them are just alike and they come, sew them together and put them out on the shelf. You are a designer original. You say, well, I don't know if I like what God designed. Listen, God designed you exactly the way He wanted you to. Quit worrying about your nose or your ears or your lips. Carolyn's brother's daughter, who is a pediatrician, she said one time she started laughing. And I said, well, what are you laughing about? We're going to the airport. She said, I don't know. I was just looking at your lips and daddy's lips and they're little. I just thought it was funny. Well, I didn't think it was too funny. God gave me my lips. Amen. I don't know why a pediatrician would have thought that was funny, but she thought it was funny. But you're a designer original. You know when a ventriloquist goes out to buy a dummy that he's going to use in ventriloquism, they will not make them. They don't make those up early. You've got to tell them what kind of hair, what kind of eyes, what color the eyes, what size ears, whether it's a male, a female, and all that. And once you make up your mind exactly what you want, then they'll design it. And God has designed you that way. Amen. We are designed by God to be who we are. God has a purpose in our life, and God has equipped us for whatever that purpose is. We need to also understand the promise of God, the purpose of God, and the promise of God. Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Are you listening to that? Let your lifestyle, let your life, your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. Well, why is that? For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who said that? God. He said, don't worry about what you don't have. Use what you have. Pray for what you need. And then just let me handle the rest of it. And I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He'll never leave us. Let me go back to this too. The way we live determines our blessings. I think that needs to be said. I think that needs to be said. God loves you, and God will never quit loving you, and God is always there for us. Let me get back to that point. If you don't do what's right, you're going to lose a blessing. And some of those things may come down the pike because you're not doing what's right, whatever it may be. But God never changes. God is going to love you. God's going to love you. You may miss some blessings, but God loves you. The story of the prodigal is a beautiful story. We all like it, don't we? His daddy never gave up on him. His daddy loved him. And when he came back, he had open arms. His other brother was insecure, and he got jealous and pouted and got mad about it. But his daddy loved him. And all he wanted was for him to come back and do the right thing. And he always loved him. Then we've got to understand the passion of God. The passion of God. Look, if you had been the only man or woman or boy or girl that had been created by God and you failed, he would have sent his son, his only son, to die for you. That is how valuable every person or each person in this building is to God tonight. If you had been the only person, do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. The only one that had fallen, God would have given his only son to die for you. And in essence, that's exactly what he did. Because he died for us as individuals. So we need to understand the passion of God and the provision of God. In 2 Peter, he's mentioned that. He said, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, I'm going to provide it for you. Now suppose I said to you tonight, now folks, don't worry about anything. You have some financial needs, just see me. Just see me. I can handle it up to about about $33 in khakis to get some of that tonight. And you'd say, well, how much money do you have? I said, well, I don't have much. But don't worry about anything. But now suppose Bill Gates came up and said, I just want to tell all you folks at this church that I am a loaded duck. Man, I've got the money. And let me tell you, he does have the money. And he said, now, I know some of you got some debts and financial needs and all that. And don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. I give you my word. I promise you that whatever it is, I'll take care of it. Well, let me tell you something. God can take care of more than Bill Gates. Yeah. Amen? And he's given us that promise. We don't have to feel insecure. Here's what I'm saying tonight. Rely not on all these other things for your security. You may lose them tonight. Perish the thought, but it could happen. So rely on God, and if you'll do that, and I mean really do it, and then let me throw it in again, live right. He's going to keep loving you. He's not going to quit loving you. But he won't bless you if you're not in his will. He'll love you, but he won't bless you. You get out of his will, he won't bless you. He'll keep loving you, and when you admit it and repent, he'll forgive you and start blessing you again. He wants to do that. But if you'll rely on God and live right, I believe with all of my heart, you can overcome any kind of insecurity. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed a moment. Let me make the appeal, and then we'll get right into our invitation. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you can never be secure, friend. You'll always have that terrible insecurity of not knowing you're going to heaven. Please come tonight and don't leave this building unsaved. I don't know if there's anybody like that here or not. There could be. Don't leave, because you'll never be secure until you come to Jesus. You can't be. And then tonight, let me ask you, do you feel insecure? Have you felt insecurity? Have you been afraid of some things and you find your security in your daughter and your husband and their relationship and this and that and money and other things? Would you come to God tonight and say, God, I've been looking at this thing wrong. I must focus on you. And you, God, and you alone. Nobody else, nothing else. You and you alone are my security. And I want to say that to you tonight, God. I want to say you are my total security. Father, bless us and help us. If there's someone here tonight that has disobeyed you and is out of your will, help them to know that you love them and you'll never quit loving them. But you won't bless them until they make things right, completely right. And help them to know we can't play with you, even though you love us totally. God, I pray that in our homes, that we as parents and grandparents would take the time, and make the effort to say to our daughters and our children, our granddaughters and our grandsons, we love you, we're proud of you, we're thankful for the way God made you and just who you are. And oh God, if they should fail us, help us not to forsake them. You've never forsaken us. Maybe our parents haven't forsaken us either. And help us not to forsake them. Help us, oh God, as parents, not to make our children perform just to get our love. Speak to our hearts. Strengthen our families. Help us tonight in Jesus' name.